some of these verses in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. We have some very interesting lessons taught us in the first 12 verses. That's about all the time we will have. That is, we'll cover in the time we allotted to us these first 12 verses. In the 19th chapter of Acts, we might call it Paul's sign ministry in the city of Ephesus. Now let us read these verses, the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" They said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit." Paul said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And Paul went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, Paul departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now this ministry of the Apostle Paul took place more than 20 years after the resurrected Christ. At 7 the 16th of Mark, the 16th verse, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now you remember at the time that the Lord Jesus gave that command, the Holy Spirit had not come as he did on the day of Pentecost. The Lord had told them that in the 14th and the 16th chapter of John, he told them that the Holy Spirit was with them, but the Holy Spirit would be within them. And on the day of Pentecost, you remember what happened when the Holy Spirit came in mighty power. Well, after that, we have some very interesting messages. The order, as we have it in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. You remember that Philip went down to Samaria and preached to the people. They saw the miracles they performed. They were baptized. And then we read in Acts 8, from the 5th to the 15th verse, the closing verses there. When the apostles at Jerusalem heard that these people were being responding to the message of Philip, Peter and John went down to Samaria, according to the 8th chapter of Acts there, and they laid hands on these people who believed what Philip had preached, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. Now in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, there, when the Apostle Peter, by the vision, you remember, the sheet of unclean creatures, was sent to a company of Gentiles. Remember how those Gentiles are described in the 10th and 11th chapter of Acts, that Cornelius was a God-fearing man, that he prayed to God always, he was a philanthropist, he gave money to the poor, and when Peter preached to him, you remember, in his company, he said, in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. Now, Cornelius was a special case, we'll say, for the ministry of the Apostle Peter at that time, before Paul had been sent out with Barnabas. When the Lord said in the 13th chapter of Acts, the second verse, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have sent them and called them." But when he began to preach to the household of Cornelius, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost, and these Gentiles began to speak with tongues. Well, the Lord had told Peter to go to them, nothing doubting. And the Jews required a sign, so God gave the tongue sign. And after that, the Apostle Peter received him, and then he went back to Jerusalem, and the other apostles contended with Peter because he preached to Cornelius, and Peter had rehearsed the whole thing and explained why he had done this. Now, as we notice this, we find then that sometimes people received the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts before they were baptized. Sometimes they were baptized after they received the Holy Spirit. Now, when Paul came here, he found certain disciples. In the Greek, he did not say to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" "Since you believe" there is the participle of the Greek verb meaning believe. And this is what he really asked them. Believing, received ye the Holy Spirit? We might use the expression on believing, but it really means when you believe. There wasn't any time element here. There wasn't a time between the time they believed and the time they received the Holy Spirit. God never told anyone to tarry for the Holy Spirit baptism except those that he told to tarry in the city of Jerusalem. In Ephesians 1:13 and 14, we're told there in the gospel and dispensation of the grace of God that at the time the individual believes the gospel of the grace of God, he does receive the Holy Spirit. Very interesting to note, in Ephesians 1:13 and 14, you have this same Greek participle that you have in Acts 19:2. In other words, in Acts 19:2, pistosantes, the participle is of the verb believe. Believing, did you receive the Holy Spirit? We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. But in Ephesians 1:13 and 14, the positive statement is made there that believing they did receive the Holy Spirit, but they believe something different. Now notice what Paul said to them here, a question. He said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." Now when we read here, the people, and then we know by studying certain verses in the Bible that this refers to Israel. In Acts 13:24, we learn that the ministry of John the Baptist was for the nation of Israel. In Luke 1:16 and Luke 1:80, we find that the ministry of John the Baptist was for the nation Israel. And he preached unto them repentance unto baptism for the remission of sins. The very same message that the Apostle Peter with the 11 apostles preached to Israel on the day of Pentecost. When they said, "Ye men of Israel, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, in the midst of you, with miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you." He, you remember what he said, "him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken with wicked hands and slain, but God raised him from the dead. So when you go back to John the Baptist's message, you find out that it was the message of baptism under repentance for the remission of sin. Now that message was not up to date. If you read the closing verses in the 18th chapter in the ministry of Apollos, you find that Apollos was a wonderful man. He was a fearless man. He was an eloquent speaker. He was mighty in the scriptures according to Acts 18:24. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was fervent in the Spirit. He spake and talked diligently the things of the Lord, and he began to speak boldly. But there's a but here. It says he knew only the baptism of John. Then Aquila and Priscilla took him and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now undoubtedly these disciples here had been under the ministry of Apollos, that is, they believed the same thing. If they had not been disciples of John the Baptist personally, because John had died many years before then. So we read then, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now it's very interesting to note this. This is the last Bible record of any water baptizing in the Bible. The last statement, the last fact, the last account or record of water baptism is found in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, the 5th verse. And some believe there that they had already been baptized with water, and having been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, whether it was before at this time, notice what happened. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And the 11th verse, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now we read here that God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. But as we read this sign ministry of Paul, surely our minds go back to the 16th chapter of Mark, where the Lord said, these signs shall follow them that believe. As you remember, he said, in my name they shall cast out demons. Now we find the Apostle Paul doing this very thing. Then he said, you remember, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said that after he said they shall speak with new tongues. Now the thing that confuses us, causes us to ask the question, when he said the signs would follow those that believed the gospel and were saved by the message of the 16th of Mark, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he did not limit the signs to the apostles. The signs were to follow those who were saved by believing the 16th chapter of Mark, the 16th verse. But here, the only signs that we see following those that believe, we read, after they were baptized, Paul put hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. There's no suggestion or even a hint here that they did any healing or that they cast out demons. But that we get down to the 11th verse, and it says that God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought out the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. When I was out west, a man asked me to preach there in his assembly, to his assembly. And after I had given the message, a lady and a gentleman moved out a little table that was on rollers, and they moved it out where the people were passing out, and they had a box of handkerchiefs. As I passed by, they said, would you like to buy one of the prophet's handkerchiefs? And I took a look at the handkerchief. It was a very small one, and I said, well, that isn't large enough for me. Oh, they said, you don't understand. These have been blessed and rubbed on his body. And they quoted Acts 19:11-12, so that from the body of Paul were brought under the sick handkerchiefs, our aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And they quoted then what the Lord said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And they said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And these signs would be here today if we were as spiritual and as consecrated and as prayerful as the Christians of the first generation. That is the first of Christian century. Back then, the days of the apostles. Well, here's something very interesting to note. About the time Paul wrote to the to the Corinthians, about the same time that this ministry was being conducted by him in Ephesus, more than 20 years after Christ had died on the cross. Now, he did write to the Corinthians in 14:18, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. He said in 1 Corinthians 14:39, forbid not to speak in tongues. But let us remember this. When we read of this ministry of healing, laying hands on the sick, or having the handkerchiefs from his body, the aprons, he was sick. Let us remember that at this time, Paul himself was not of sound body. You remember what he said in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians at the 11th verse? That is the three verses there. He says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in tribulation, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. At that time, he was afflicted with the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan above him. Then another thing we want to remember, a great many people say that if we were as spiritual and as faithful and as consecrated as the Christians of the first Christian century, we too could exercise the sign gifts of 1 Corinthians 12, 8-11. Including those gifts for speaking in tongues and the discerning of spirits, the working of miracles, and the healing of the sick. I wonder if they really analyzed and studied the epistle to the Corinthians. Now, those Corinthians were saints. They were sanctified. We read that in the first two verses of the first epistle to the Corinthians. Then we read it again in 1 Corinthians 6:11. Where he said, such were some of you, but now you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to observe this, that sanctified precedes justified. Now that's explained in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. God from the beginning hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth. No one is ever saved who is not first sanctified by Almighty God. You know, we can plant and water, God must give the increase. And we cannot Christianize, we can only evangelize. Well, you remember what it is said in the 18th chapter of Acts concerning the people at Corinth in the ministry of Paul. It says in the 18th chapter, the 8th verse, that many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now he also told them, when he wrote to them in 1 Corinthians 12:13, he says, by one Spirit were you all baptized into one body. Now in the ministry of the Apostle Paul and his gospel preaching at Corinth, he did write to them, and he said, I thank God I baptized very few of you, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. But in the record it's not clearly stated whether or not the Corinthians received water baptism before they received Holy Spirit baptism. But at the time they were saved, they were baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Now let us repeat what we said in the beginning, or in the first part of this message, that no one was ever told to tarry for Holy Spirit baptism except the Israelites, certain disciples in the city of Jerusalem. The people at Corinth did not have to tarry for the Holy Spirit. When they believed the gospel, it was Paul was preaching, and he said, you remember, I was determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't know whether I baptized more than four or five of you, for Christ sent me not to baptize. You can see there's a difference in Paul's gospel and Paul's message. There's as much difference between Peter's message on the day of Pentecost to Israel in Acts 2:38 and Paul's message in Titus, chapter 2 and 3, as there is between law and grace. Peter was God's chosen vessel on the day of Pentecost to preach to the repentance to Israel, and he had a twofold message. He says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent, and God will send Jesus Christ back from heaven for the restitution of all things, spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Now that was not the message that the risen Lord gave to the Apostle Paul. Paul tells us in Galatians 1:11-12, that the gospel that he preached was not received of man. He wasn't taught it by man. It was the gospel of the grace of God, and he said he was taught it by special revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. After Christ went back to heaven as a glorified man, he met the Apostle Paul, according to the last verses, the closing verses of the 22nd chapter of Acts. He met the Apostle Paul in a trance in the Jerusalem temple and told him to hurry and get out of Jerusalem. And he said, I will send you far hence unto the Gentiles. Now that was quite different from what the Lord said in Matthew 10:5-8, when he said to his 12 apostles, go not into the way of the Gentiles, but he said, go to Israel and preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But in the book of Titus, when the Lord had given Paul the message of grace, Paul says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And then he said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that message was given after the fall of Israel. The message of Peter was before the fall of Israel. And there's a great difference between Acts 2:38 and Titus 3:5-8. Just as much difference as there is between law and grace. Now getting back to our message here then, let's remember this. As we said, about the time Paul had this ministry at Ephesus, according to Acts 19:1-12, he wrote to the Corinthians, and you know what he told them. He said that he wanted to feed them with the strong meat of God's word, but he could only give them milk because they were carnal and they walked as men. That was a very unkind thing, it seems, doesn't it, to tell them that they behaved just like unsaved people behave. They were carnal. Yeah, they were sanctified carnal saints. You may think that that sounds paradoxical, but that's exactly it. The apostle told them they were sanctified. He told them they were justified. They had received Holy Spirit baptism. But they were carnal, and he couldn't give them the strong meat of God's word. They were not established in any deep truth. Well, you will remember what he said in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning at the 3rd verse and going down there to the 8th and 9th, 10th verses. Why, he said, you do wrong, you defraud one another. Then we find in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, in the closing verses of that chapter, that because of their misbehavior at the Lord's table, the Lord had to severely chastise them. The Corinthians were not exercising the gifts, the sign gifts of 1 Corinthians 12:8-11, because they were more spiritual or because they had some unusual, extraordinary faith. No, it was because the gifts had a rightful place in the church at that time. God had put them there. They did not have the New Testament scriptures. They had to be guided by a gift from the Spirit. There had to be in the assembly, during the absence of Paul especially, there had to be those who had the gift of the discerning of spirits. But after the Bible was completed, and those assigned gifts had served their purpose, God tells us in the 4th chapter of 1 John, the Epistle of John, to try the spirits. Now we have the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the infallible teacher, and the only infallible teacher is the Holy Spirit, and you have the infallible Word of God. And we have the complete will of God. Yes, in the 66 books of the Bible, we have the complete will of God given to us and recorded for us. And as it has been duly said so many times, since the revelation was complete in the inspired book, we can truly say that spiritually speaking, that anything new is not true, and anything true is not new. That wasn't true during the time that the Bible was, that is, God was giving by inspiration and revelation new thoughts and new truths. Remember, we received our Bible through, as we read, that God, by the Holy Spirit, moved upon holy men of old to give us the Holy Scripture. Therefore, all Scripture is God-breathed. But it was given to us on the installment plan. For instance, if you read in the second chapter of Galatians that the Apostle Paul went by revelation up to Jerusalem to communicate to Peter and the others the gospel which he had been preaching, and there he made known to them the great difference between the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision. That is just one of the simple principles of obeying 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then the Apostle Paul, in the 16th chapter of Romans, the 25th verse, tells Christians how to be established. He said, God is able to establish you according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now the great majority of Christians are not established because they do not understand the truth of the book of Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians, the truth that was given not only to supplement but to supersede much of the truth that the Lord gave to the 12 apostles before the Apostle Paul was chosen. Then the Apostle Paul uttered the great truth of 1 Corinthians 3:10. He said, according to this grace given me, I am the wise master builder. That word master builder, architecton, the word from which we get the word architect, is literally head carpenter. He said in 1 Corinthians 3:10, I am the head carpenter, I have laid the foundation, let every man take heed how they build on that foundation. Now we have our foundation laid on the day of Pentecost with Peter and the 11, then we'll never be able to qualify, as God tells us to in 1 Corinthians 4:1-4. He said that every minister of Christ should be a faithful steward of the mysteries of God. And then he tells us, of course, in Ephesians 3:9, that we are to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, and is according to God's eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ from before the foundation of the world. It's very interesting to compare Paul's oral ministry in the 19th of Acts with his written message to the Ephesians, although the epistle, generally regarded as the epistle to the Ephesians, is rather a general church epistle. It has very little local application there. But let's remember what we have here in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, and remember that if we are honest, we'll have to acknowledge this, that the Apostle Paul in the 19th chapter of Acts was very much of a Pentecostal. Now we're going to continue this message a little later on, and this is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, O-H-A-I-R, 1011, Wilson Avenue, Chicago.